the supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us, because today we're going to speak about the behavior and social interaction of a believer.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 28th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Furqan, verses 73 to 74, which we'll listen to, and then we'll learn about some points about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا.
And those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind.
والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
And those who say, Our Lord, grant us from among our wives and offspring comfort to our eyes and make us an example for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse 74, the 12 attributes of real believers, which is paying social attention to training and education of their issue and family and for which they feel seriously responsible, is mentioned. Certainly, such people have no stone unturned in training their issues, and they're making them acquainted with the main principles and positive laws of Islam and path of truth and justice, and when having no way and no choice, they ask Allah the Merciful and pray.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest night. Shows me right from wrong at night. World that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Again, we're gonna learn more about the behavior and social interaction of a believer. The human soul is in need of developing educationally in order to become characterized by the best of morals and refrain from evil doings. This can be achieved by teaching ourselves and teachings of Islam. One of the best ways to learn is following in the footsteps and copying the examples of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, his infallible household, Ahlul Bayt, and the most righteous among his companions, studying their biographies and considering all aspects of their virtuous behavior are essential ways of being led on the right path.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic of our discussion today is about the code of conduct for a Muslim. Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to one of the companions, if you come to Abdullah, another companion of him, and say to him that Ja'far ibn Muhammad, that is Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he says, tell him that Ja'far Muhammad says, try to glorify and magnify whatever made Ali alayhi salam, the first imam, great in the eyes of the Holy Prophet, before the Holy Prophet. So take them into account and glorify those elements and factors. And force yourself and try to obligate yourself to do those actions. Definitely Ali alayhi salam, verily Ali alayhi salam, the first imam, reached to that level or degree in the eyes of the Holy Prophet through trust and truthworthiness, honesty. So we see how beautifully Imam transmits this message to another companion of him. Just first and foremost to inform him and warn him, and second to tell us in the history, years and let's say centuries later, that these two important factors made Imam Ali alayhi salam great in the eyes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are too many other factors, or let's say elements, that we like to discuss and talk about, but since the time is almost over and the time is approaching its end, we have to finalize our discussion and wrap it up here, and deprive ourselves from other, let's say, points that we wanted to mention and talk about, that is one evasion from the fame, or let's say escaping from the fame, and taking a good care of the family, which is another trait and characteristics of a believer, and too many other factors that I cannot enumerate all of them at this time.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
When we look at Muslim code of behavior, good intentions is one of the most important one. No matter what we think, Allah knows everything. The deeds that we perform are rewarded according to the intentions behind them. If we want to become a better Muslim, we should learn to do things only for the sake of pleasing Allah and not for pleasing the people. Those who perform good deeds while having a wrong intention in mind will just be wasting their time, as Allah knows what is in the heart. As Muslims, we all know the importance of prayers. We should never miss any of our daily prayers. Other than that, we must also recite Quran, as Prophet said, "Read the Quran, for verily it will come on the day of standing as an intercessor for its companions." Different episodes of today's special, we have looked on the social behavior as a good believer. One of them is a relationship with other faith. In the view of Allah, the whole of humanity consists of one single community. As in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 213, Allah says to the one community of humankind, Allah sent prophets as bearers of good tidings, as a warner, he sent down to them the book with the truth so that he could judge between people. Three facts emerge from the ayah. One, the unity of all humanity under one Allah. Two, the distinctiveness of the different religions brought by various prophets. Three, the role that revelation, the book, plays in resolving differences that occur between people. The Quran does not deny the variety of religions, nor that contradictions might exist between them regarding beliefs and practices. At the same time, it emphasizes the need to recognize the oneness of humanity created by him, and the need for all to work towards a better understanding between the followers of the different faith. The universal message of the Holy Quran thus reveals that without subordination to any limited historical and cultural context, revelation accepts religious pluralism as a necessity. This affirmative principle of diversity is the cornerstone of the creation.
Imam Zain al-Abidin says, Wallah, by Allah, لو أن قاتل أبي الحسين, if the murderer, the one who murdered my father Hussein, gives me the sword, tells me, keep it with you, I need it the day I want to murder your father, and he comes back to me, I'll give him the sword. The sword that he's going to kill my father with it. I am honest. I'm going to give him back the amana. This is amana. This is amana. This is religion. This is faith. Fulfill the amana. Fulfill the trust. Fulfill the trust to its own people. Do not overburden his friends. Some people like us, they expect people to help them. When the time comes for them to help, they don't help. They are only on the receiving ends, mashallah, recipients. But they are not donors. They don't give. They are only consumers, but not producers. They expect people, the community, the family members, the friends to help them. But when it comes for them to pay back, to help, we have to pay back, my friends. We have to pay back. I admired some of you here who are volunteering their time, their effort, their intelligence, their money, their health, contributing that to Ahlul Bayt and Islam. Those are true people. Those are true. When we say to Imam Hussein, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza, I wish I was with you on the day of Ashura. Many of us, we lie. We lie. Even if God resurrects Imam Hussein and we see the day of Ashura, we decline. We tell him, sorry, I'm busy with my business. I have many things to do. But very few, they stand true. They stand true to their covenant with God. They are volunteering among you here, among you. Many of you are volunteering your time, donating your time, contributing your time, your money, your health to the service of Islam. And I am very proud of you. This is the difference between someone who dedicates his soul, his life to serving God, and someone who's selfish. He doesn't even help any person. He receives, but he does not give. That person, I don't think the highway for paradise is open for him or her. God does not give his paradise majan, free to all. Innama tujzawna, God says, we reward you, ma kuntum ta'amaloon, your contribution here.
That was all from today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since people in the West are on the threshold of Christmas, which Christians believe to be the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, we hereby present you a thought-stimulating statement from the virgin-born Messiah, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Barnabas, about the coming of the last messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O blessed time, when he shall come to the world, believe me that I have seen him and have done him reverence, even as every prophet has seen him, seeing that of his spirit God gives to them prophecy. And when I saw him, my soul was filled with consolation, saying, O Muhammad, God be with you, and may he make me worthy to untie your shoe latchet. For obtaining this, I shall be a great prophet and holy one of God.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and instructive hadith, which has been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is about modesty. Specifically, it is about reprehensible modesty. You know, modesty, or what we call in Arabic, haya, is a very noble trait. But just like every trait, right, sometimes a trait can be good, but if it's taken to an extreme, it can be bad. Anything taken to an extreme, either in as far as increase is concerned or decrease is concerned, it becomes bad. If a good quality is decreased too much, well, that's bad. If it's increased too much and goes beyond the limits prescribed by religion, that also becomes very bad. One of those qualities is haya. Haya and shame or modesty is something good. But if it's applied in a case where it shouldn't be, then it becomes very bad. For example, in this example, the Prophet alludes to it in this hadith. Let's say that you're in class and your teacher, he asks a question, but you don't know the answer to it and you feel shy. And you feel shy, you don't raise your hand to answer it. This is a case of modesty or, you know, shyness. But this is not a shyness which arises from wisdom or the intellect. Rather, it's a shyness that arises and stems from your foolishness or your ignorance. So therefore, just like the cause, this foolishness, which is its effect, is also something reprehensible and it's not good. The Prophet said, there are two types of modesty. Modesty springing from the intellect and a sense of shame arising from foolishness. The specific words of the Prophet are, وَحَيَاءُ هُمْقِنْ, ignorance or foolishness. The modesty or shame or shyness that we feel because we don't know what to do or what to say, or we don't know, the solution to a problem or whatever. These are all apprehensible. The Prophet then says, as for the modesty of the intellect, it is knowledge. And as for the shame from foolishness, it is ignorance. In the same vein, Imam Ali alayhi salam has been reported to have said, shame has been associated with deprivation. Right? Let's say that you have, the necessary qualifications to, take up a responsibility, a job or whatever, right? And but you're too afraid to ask, your superiors or your boss, to give you the responsibility, right? So obviously, this is not a case where shame or modesty is something good, right? And, the consequences of it are, like the Imam says here, deprivation or harman, right? You'll be deprived of, the good outcome that you could have secured had you actually been a little bolder. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at modesty, the reprehensible modesty, in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Sevier International School, and I want to say hello and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers. How are you, Hassan? How are you?
Fine, inshallah.
Okay, great. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaykum assalam. Alhamdulillah. How are you, sir?
Okay, that's great. Alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Everyone is here fine. And we hope, inshallah, our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio, I hope, inshallah, you are well and fine. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir. Today, in this session, one of the very important sessions, this session is, okay? Make sure, inshallah, you pay close attention. And I know you know the topic. What's the topic? We will practice Surah Al-Fatiha. Yeah, Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ham, no problem, okay? Surah Al-Fatiha, the name is Surah Al-Fatiha because it starts the Quran. Actually, it was not the first Surah which was revealed, okay? But it's now in the beginning of the Quran, so Al-Fatiha says. So, brothers and sisters, I really recommend you stay with us till the end of this session. For those who, for example, have a problem in prayers, okay? They cannot pray, for example, in the prayer, they cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah At-Tawheed, or any other Surah correctly. Please stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah. We'll work on the Tajweed rules, okay? And you'll learn how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. So, before we start, everyone, let's listen to Sheikh Parhizgar, who will be reciting this surah for us, and after that, we'll continue our session.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Malik yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Thank you so much. I will be reciting. Make sure you repeat, okay? And our brothers and sisters will also repeat and practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الرحمن الرحيم.
الرحمن الرحيم.
مالك يوم الدين.
مالك يوم الدين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Guys, about the explanation, the tafsir of this surah, I want you to refer to the tafsir book, okay? Because we don't have much time to talk about it because we have to work on the tajweed rules because of the qira'ah of the prayer, okay? So we'll work on the tajweed rules just, okay, today in this session. So for the explanation and also the translation, the tafsir, refer to the tafsir book, inshallah. Okay, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Make sure this is a part of the surah.
Sure. Yes.
This is the first ayah. Second ayah is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Okay? So whenever you want to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, recite Bismillah before it. Okay? Because it is a part of the surah. But in the other surahs, go to Surah Al-Baqarah once.
Look. It's written Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Together it's one ayah. First ayah. You see? So in Surah Al-Fatiha, one of the opinions is this, that this is in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim totally. It is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, but for the next surahs, okay, it is part of the first ayah. It's not a separate ayah itself, okay? This is one of the opinions, which is more popular, okay? And it's now, you see the Quran, it's this way. So, Bismillah, first, the pronunciations of the letters, okay, here. Ha, Ha, Dhal, Ayn, Hamza, and Saad, Dad, Ta, these letters are very, very important. Okay? Which letters? Dhal, Saad, Dad, Ta, Ayn, Hamza, Ha, Ha. They are important. So, let's practice them. How do you say the letter Ha? This is different from the letter Ha. Yes? Yes. Ha, Ha. One is as if you breathe. Ha.
Yes.
The other one is a bit more pressure. Ha, Ha, Ha. Tight your vocal. Throat. Ha, Ha. It's easy.
Yes.
Okay? Ha. So, Bismillah. Bismillahi. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. Right? Alhamdu. Lillahi. He. Soft one. Rabbil Alameen. Ah, how do you say the letter Ayn? It's different from Hamza.
Yes, Ayn.
Yeah, Hamza has a fatha sound. E. But yes. Ayn is from the top part of your throat. Ayn. Make sure. So, Ayn. How do you say the letter Sad?
Sad. Sad.
You can say the word sad in English. Yes. Say everyone.
Sad.
Now say the word sad with an A sound.
Sad.
Sad. Sad. No, no. Sound with an A sound. Sad. Sad.
Sad.
Sad. Sad. Okay? Sad. Sad. All right? Like the whistling sound. Sad. 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 Do not circle your mouth. Nothing. Sad. How do you say the letter Dad?
Lord.
Three ways.
Yes, yes.
You can use the edge of your tongue.
Yes.
Okay, the right side. Place it on the back teeth. Dot, dot, dot. Or the left side. Dot, dot, dot. Or top part. The top, the roof of your mouth with, for example, the front edge of your tongue. Okay? Dot, 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 dot. Okay? Both are correct. No problem, okay? The three ways, all are correct. But for the ages, they are more popular, okay? The ages. From your ages. But
yes.
That's it, okay. So, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. How do you say the letter طَا? طَا.
طَا.
Put your tongue.
Yes.
On the back of upper teeth.
Yes.
Upper teeth.
Yes.
Here. طَا. Say that طَا sound, but... Now do it with an A sound. Ta. Easy. Ta. 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 Surata. Yes. Ihdina surata al-mustaqim. Ta. Ta.
Qalbun bilhaq ta'allaq. Wa bighari hira'a ta'allaq. Yabki yas'anu khaliqahu. Fa'atahu al-wahyu fa'ashraq. Iqra.
Let's recite the Quran.
Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
So, next letter, we did all of them, right? Done. So, let's go and recite it once. Repeat after me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ahsan, ahsan. Ha and were pronounced correctly. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Ahsant, mashallah. Ayn was pronounced correctly, ha, all of them. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Great. Iyaka Na'budu.
إياك نعبد
وإياك نستعين
وإياك نستعين.
Make sure it's not نستعين, it's not طاتة, and also it's not صاد سين. نستعين, huh? إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
Great. يا has a تشديد. إياك. Do not make it a إذ sound. No. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
All right. Do not make it a طا sound. Make sure. Okay. إيه. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
أحسن. صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين.
صراط الذين.
Some people say صراط الذين. It's wrong. صراط. Instead of saying طا correctly, they add a قاف sound as well with it. صراط ال... No. You see, do you hear that sound? صراط ال... Say, صراط ال...
صراط ال...
أحسن. لذين...
لذين...
أنعمت...
أنعمت...
عليهم...
عليهم...
غير المغضوب...
غير المغضوب
عليهم
عليهم
ولا الضالين ولا
الضالين.
أحسن. There is a mad, okay. ولا الضالين. مد اللازم, you remember?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, after mad, if we have مشدد letter, okay, you pronounce it. The mad must be stretched correctly. Okay.
Yes.
So guys, Alhamdulillah, you learned how to read Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. Make sure in your prayer you have to do so, because qira'ah is a part of the important, the required part of namaz, okay, prayer, salat. Mm-hmm. So you have to recite it correctly. Understood?
Yes.
So everyone, let's listen to Shaykh Parhizgar once again. He will recite this surah with tajweed. Make sure and listen, okay?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
That's it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you've learned. So we didn't have any explanation, okay, about this surah. Make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, because we were doing the recitation, the qira'ah, okay? Thank you so much. Please practice this in your prayer as well, okay? After this, now you have learned. Recite your prayers, do your prayers with qira'ah. Correct qira'ah. Thank you so much. Thanks to our brothers and sisters who have been with us in this session. Stay with us, please, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevier International Schools Network for the cooperations. Stay with IRIB English Radio every day with one Quranic session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Last Savior
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. You're listening to us from the IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Zainab. Well, today in our studio, we have with us Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we have been discussing about the certain signs of reappearance, and one of them was the uprising of Yamani. And we have a Dr. Karimi discussing about the Yamani. And in our last episode, we discussed the place where this uprising would take place, and we confirmed from Shia sources all the narrations that the conclusion of all the narrations was that the uprising of Yamani would take place from the Yaman itself, because Yamani in itself means a man from Yaman. Well, Dr. Karim, in our previous episode, we discussed all that through Shia sources. You also shared one of the hadiths from Sunni sources. I would want you to discuss more if we have some more Sunni sources quoting that he is a righteous man.
Sure. We said that although our dear listeners might consider it a very clear concept that Yamani is a righteous and virtuous person and he leads the people and guides the people, but because of the fact that there are some, doubts nowadays raised about the authenticity of such narrations, whether he is inviting the people toward Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it's fairly necessary to share some narrations talking about the fact that he's a righteous man. He's not inviting people toward himself. He does not claim that he's an imam. He just invites the people toward Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. We shared some narrations in this regard from Shia sources and one from the Sunni sources. In another narration quoted in Al-Fitan, page 67, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, يَكُونُ بَعْدَ الْجَبَابِرَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي After a group of oppressive rulers, a man from my progeny will come. It seems that, this narration is referring for sure to Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا He will fill the earth with justice. ثُمَّ الْقَحْتَانِ بَعْدَهُ Then Qahtani will come after him. We said that one of the titles given to Yamani in Sunni sources is
Qahtani as well.
وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ مَا هُوَ دُونَ Of course, we are not, confirming all the points mentioned in this narration. This is from one of the Sunni sources. The point that we would like to get from this narration is that he is a virtuous man.
Okay.
According to this narration, the Holy Prophet says that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the status of Yamani is not that much lower than that of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The other narration, again from Al-Fitan, page 245, we are quoting from Sunni sources. He says that يَكُونَ بَعْدَ الْمَهْدِ خَلِيفَةٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ يَمَنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ مِنْ قَحْطَانِ After Mahdi, there would be a successor from the people of Yemen, from قَحْطَان.
Okay.
يَعْمَلُ بَعْمَلِهِ He will act like Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. So these narrations also refer to the fact that he is
a righteous person, the flag bearer.
Of course, some of the details
guidance.
We may not agree. For example, we believe that he will come before the uprising of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
These two narrations refer that to the
here
point
we
that
are referring to the point that is he a righteous person or
yeah,
not? Yeah.
But they said that he will come after Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But this is against the narrations in Shia sources.
All right, that contradicts with the
exactly.
Narrations from Shia sources. Dr. Karimi will continue the discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm with Dr. Karimi, and we are discussing about Yamani. Well, Dr. Karimi, you discussed about the place of his uprising. You discussed about the flag bearer, that he would be the flag bearer of guidance. And you are proving the point through Shia sources and as well as Sunni sources. Only the fact that we contradict with the Sunni narrations on the point that he is not going to come after Imam, he's going to come before Imam. Well, no more on that. We came to the conclusion that he is a righteous person, both for both these sources, be that Sunni source or be that Shia sources. Oh, the most important question that rises over here is that, do people need to go to help Yamani in case he's in need? Like, for example, people living in any other part of the world and Yamani living in Yemen needs some kind of help of a person who can make himself reach there. Is it obligatory or is it necessary, or what is the duty of that person?
This is, I believe, one of the most important questions related to the personality of Yamani. So for sure, we prove that he's a very righteous person, inviting the people toward the guidance. He is one of the signs of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, according to some, one of the definite signs, and according to some, one of the uncertain signs. But the point is that his uprising is approved by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Yeah.
Now, the question is that, and this is very important, hopefully we'll see Yamani in our time.
Yeah.
Is it necessary for all the Muslims, all the Shia, all around the world, just to go to, let's say, Yemen to help Yamani? Because he will have some struggles and fights, especially with Sufyani, according to the narrations. Again, our dear listeners might think that naturally we need to do that because he's a virtuous person, he's fighting Sufyani, the enemy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But the point is that there are some researchers, especially by the contemporary Shia scholars on this regard, and the reason which makes it more important is that some of the people in our time, they have falsely claimed that they are the promised Yamani.
Yeah.
Like that person from Basra, from Iraq. He claims that I'm the promised Yamani. And he asks all the people to go and help him.
All right.
So now the question is that, let's imagine that he is the promised Yamani. Is it necessary for me living in Europe, in the United States, in Australia, anywhere in this world, to go and to help this person from Yemen who claims to be the promised
Yamani?
Although he's not. But imagine that he is.
All right.
Is it necessary for
what
us to
what is my duty right now?
Exactly. So there is one narration in this regard according to which people need to go and help Yamani.
All right.
We have only one narration in this regard. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, وَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْيَمَانِ فَانْهَضْ إِلَيْهِ. When you see the uprising of Yamani, then go to him, فإن رايته راية هدى, because of the fact that his flag is the flag of guidance. ولا يحل لمسلم أن يلتوي عليه, and it's not permitted for any Muslim to
stand against him.
Exactly.
Right.
فمن فعل ذلك فهو من أهل النار. If you stand against him, you would be one of the inmates of fire, because he invites the people toward the truth and toward the straight path. Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 262, chapter 14, hadith number 13. Now, we have this narration quoted from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and it seems that we cannot find any other authentic narrations to have asked the Shia to go and help
Yamani. What could be concluded about the duty of believers? I'll ask you that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Last Savior.
The question comes in my mind. What next?
What next? What next?
The final victory. Final victory.
There are references to a person who will come as the savior of mankind.
I know he's one of the Ahlul Bayt and the last one, and he's going to change the world.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm with Dr. Karimi, and we're discussing about Yamani. Well, Dr. Karimi, before going to the break, you said that we only have one narration in this regard, that believers have to go and help Yamani if he asks for help. What do we conclude? Like, we only have one narration, so what do we conclude about that?
For that, we need to refer to other narrations in this regard, talking about the duty of Muslims and the Shia at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We said that the uprising of Yamani and that of Sufyani are very close to the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi.
Yeah.
So it seems that to support Yamani does not necessarily mean to go and join his army in Yemen.
Okay.
We may support him through many other ways, but doesn't mean that necessarily we should go to Yemen.
Travel to Yemen.
To join his army. It seems from other narrations that the answer is negative. And as Shia, we have no duty to go, yes, for people around him in Yemen, and people who would see him, they may join the army.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the duty of all the people all around the world to go to Yemen to help Yamani.
Okay.
And this is a very important point in our time. So this false claimant from Basra claims that all Muslims come and aid me and help me. No, the narrations are against that. What are the narrations? The narrations I'm talking about are asking the Muslims that at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, try to go to the city of Mecca.
Okay.
So the point is that we prove that based on the narrations, the uprising of Yamani and that of Sufyani are very close to the time of reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Yes.
And according to some narrations, he will see Imam Mahdi, he will help him, and according to some, he will be one of the rulers at his time. We will come to that. So the narrations talking about the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and this is mentioned in many narrations, asked the Muslims and the Shia to go to the city of Mecca.
There's no narration telling us that travel to the city of Yemen.
Exactly. So,
something regarding traveling, it's towards Mecca.
Yeah, I mean, it's contradicting the claim that people need to go to Yemen. When the narrations are asking the people to go to Mecca.
All right.
I would like to share some narrations in this regard because they have some interesting points. For example, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, "Kafa bi Sufyan."